Mark Zucchino from Golf Talk Canada joins us. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. You know, listen, guys, it's all fun and games until somebody loses an eye out there. So
true. You ever
you
been
gotta
hit?
Watch yourself.
Have you ever been hit by a golf ball on the course?
I have never been, but I've seen multiple people get hit, and you know, not to make light of what can be a very serious situation, I have broken down in laughter both times. So,
okay.
You know.
It wasn't that bad then.
It wasn't that bad. They're one hoppers. One hoppers down the third baseline, it kind of looked like. So
I saw a guy take a line drive right in the chest, knocked him right down.
That's
was kind of a jerk, though, so no one really cared about him that much. There was so much talk about Bubba Watson, of course, on Saturday. His short irons were letting him down. And then he started, I think it was the second hole, where from 120 out, he put it over the green. You're thinking, oh, it might be a long day for him. Then Spieth takes a two-stroke lead, and you're thinking, wow, maybe this is going to happen. But then was it experience taking over, or is that too much of a cop-out to just say that, you know what, in this tournament, it's not always about experience. Maybe Bubba Watson just played better, regardless of experience.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, he did just play better. Although I will say that for the first time, we actually saw Jordan Spieth start to look like a 20-year-old around that eighth hole through 12. You know, that's really where this tournament changed. You know, on eight, he made a three-putt from 25 feet. He was staring at birdie from 25 feet, walks away with bogey. And Watson grabs the birdie, then comes up with a bogey on nine from the middle of the fairway. And it just kind of went from there. And there was a 3-4 shot swing in a matter of two holes. And then Bubba just kind of kept the metal down. And even when Spieth was playing well, the thing that I found interesting, you know, he holed it from the bunker on four for birdie, the very difficult par three fourth. He holes it for birdie. And then he stuffs it to 3 feet on six, the other par three. But Bubba answered them both times, kind of calmed the nerves and rolled in putts. And those were answers. When Spieth had all that momentum and the crowd was going nuts and he's fist-pumping and this 20-year-old's kind of got everything going behind him, Watson kind of settled everything down by just following it up with a birdie of his own. And those were momentum shifters. And at the very least, they were, putts that slowed Spieth's momentum at the time. And at the end of the day, when he had his opportunities, he took them. And I love the Masters. Maybe my favorite Sunday of the year, but I must admit that for me, that was maybe the most disappointing back nine on Sunday I've watched in quite some time.
And I was noticing the ratings were low. And in golf, like, even if, I don't know, maybe if Tiger's on there, maybe it's better, but only if he's in contention. You know, if Bubba Watson has a 4-stroke lead on him, the ratings are probably a little bit better, but not much. That's just, you know, there's nothing golf can do about that. It's just on a Sunday where you've got a guy right down the back, pretty much in control, a lot of people lose interest.
Yeah, you know, it's a similar, if we're watching the Super Bowl and there's a 40-point lead, like there used to be back in the 80s and 90s when those games were blowouts, those second half, those numbers drop, right? And golf can't control that. Now, Tiger's always affecting the needle a bit. The Masters, he affects it less than any other tournament, but it's still there. But when you've got no Woods in the mix, no McIlroy in the mix, no Mickelson in the mix, and a guy basically taking a stroll down like a stroll in the park for the last hour and a half, 2 hours of the broadcast, it's going to come up when we look at the ratings and when we look back and when people talk about this tournament. It's not going to be one that's really remembered, and nor should it be. Really, it was. Compared to what the PGA Tour season has been this year, we've seen lead changes constantly on Sundays. We've seen big names with leads go in reverse. We're just a few weeks removed from Adam Scott losing a 7-shot lead at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And that's kind of been the theme of this year, volatility and change on leaderboards, which has led to playoffs and excitement. And the Masters didn't deliver any of that for the first time, really, in quite some time. It's been years and years since we've seen a Masters that didn't come down the wire and deliver some type of classic Masters moment.
Talking golf with Mark Zucchino from Golf Talk Canada. Mark, Bubba Watson now joins Phil. I think they're the only two lefties, right, that have won multiple majors?
Yeah, they're the only two lefties with multiple majors, and it's the sixth left-handed win in the last 12 years at Augusta, starting off with Mike Weir in 2003.
Oh. Well, now, what do people make of that? Just more lefty golfers?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. The reason why it's happening more at Augusta, though, than anywhere else is, you know, traditionally, to play well at Augusta, you've got to move your ball right to left off the tee. Most of the par fives, in fact, bend right to left. And to play well at Augusta, you need to take advantage of those par five holes. For a right-handed golfer, he's up there trying to hit a draw all day. And although a draw will go further, it's also a little bit harder to control. It hits the ground, it gallops, and a draw can turn into a hook quite quickly. A golf professional never worries about a slice. He can hit a fade all day and not worry about it turning into a slice. So for a left-handed golfer, he can hit a power fade around those corners all day and never worry at all about the ball getting away from him. And Bubba Watson and Phil Mickelson are perfect examples of that. Guys who are, when they're playing well, hit a big, high fade. And Bubba hit it all day yesterday, and I don't know if he caught his drive on the 13th hole, the par 5, 510 yards. It ended up being a 366-yard fade that never left the line that he intended to hit it on. It was just a just perfect line, a line that maybe Bubba Watson could only take over those trees. But at the end of the day, I believe that's what's going on here. The fact that a left-hander can hit a fade and he knows it's not going to get away with him, and right-handers have to stand up there and really control the draw. And that can be tough over 4 days on a really firm, fast golf course.
Yeah, six lefties out of the last 12 years. So, yeah, you're, and considering the percentage of lefties on tour now, any idea how many guys on tour are lefties now?
Oh, good question. Not too sure off the top of my head. You know, obviously there's Weir, Mickelson, Watson. Green is out there on occasion as a lefty. Not many still. When you take a look at the big picture, it's still just a minute percent. It's amazing when we look at Canada. Canada's a bit of an anomaly in the sense that, you know, 37% of our golfing population is left-handed, and that's off the charts compared to any other country in the world. I think it's as low as 18 to 22% in the U.S., which would be the second largest left-handed golf population in the world. So something in the water up here. We're all, everybody says, oh, it's hockey. That makes no sense to me. You're trying to tell me there's no left-handed batters in baseball? So I don't know. Something we'll keep our eye on, but we're growing. I'm one of them. You know, I'm one of them. I started the game left-handed and, you know, just was just a natural move for me to hit it left-handed. And the funny thing, too, most left-handed golfers are right-handed people. Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson, they're all right-handed. They all throw right. Somehow they picked up the game left-handed.
Yeah, same as me. Right-handed everywhere. I do everything left. Golf, bat, hockey. I always find it weird the guys who golf or play shoot hockey left, but then golf right. I don't get that at all.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're wonderful players, right?
Maybe. I always find that weird. Bubba Watson now becomes only the 44th player to have two major victories in his career. Where does this put Watson now? Is he a guy that should be a serious contender every major now, or does Augusta, as you talked about earlier, just play better to his stroke?
Yeah, other than the last 2 months of his career, I'd agree with the latter there, in the sense that, you know, he's just fit for this tournament, fit for this golf course. He's really comfortable there. But since February, he's shown a level of consistency that we've never really seen from him before. He's already got a win this year on the tour. He won the Northern Trust Open. He has 2 second-place finishes. So now, you know, now with 2 wins, a couple second places, a handful of top tens, he's showing that consistency that you would expect from a guy that's going to contend a lot. I don't know what he's going to do or what he can do at a U.S. Open type of venue that kind of is an anti-Bubba setup. But he should be able to fare well elsewhere. You know, he loves to shape shots. He's very creative. And to be bluntly honest with you, if he wins one more big tournament, whether it's a major or a Players Championship or something along those lines, then regardless of what he does the rest of his career, he's going to have to, you know, be seriously considered for the Hall of Fame. You know, there's only actually, I don't think there's any 3-time major champion that isn't in the Hall of Fame, and there's only a handful of two-time major champions that are currently in the Hall that will more than likely get there at some point. So he's on the verge of Hall of Fame as we speak, and one more would definitely get him in there, which would really change his legacy and where we put him on the landscape when we're looking at golfers. But I really think he needs to have that consistency that's been missing in his career for the last 6-7 years that we've only started to see now. He needs to continue that over the next 2-3 year period in order to really truly change the way the media and the golf fan thinks about Bubba Watson.
And one last one for you, Mark. Graham Dillette, first time at Augusta, and he struggled on his first day. The second day he was even par, but 8 over on the first day, and pretty much he was done. I'm guessing for him, it's a good learning experience. And if you improve by 8 strokes, was that just from experience, or did you see anything mechanically that wasn't right in his game on day one?
No, I think day two is an exhale, to be honest with you. I think regardless of what Graham said, and he said all the right things, he was in awe of the place. We talked to him before the Masters as he was prepping, and you could really tell there was that almost like that kid in a candy store attitude about being in the Masters and being involved in this event. And it can become a little bit overwhelming for a first-timer. Traditionally, first-timers do horribly at the Masters. You know, the last first-time winner we had there was 1979, Fuzzy Zeller. You got to go back to 1935. To find the one before that. So first-timers not doing so well around there, and part of it is the awe of the place. I think he got that out of his way on the opening round and just kind of maybe wasn't mentally prepared for being in the heat of battle on opening day at the Masters. I think the nerves were gone, and it was maybe just another golf tournament on Friday, and 72 was a great score on a very difficult Friday. We spoke to Graham, and I said to him, listen, Graham, at the end of the day, we know this is your first Masters, but we definitely also know it's not your last. So as long as he's treating it like that, he's no reason to believe he can't do well here in the future.
Mark, we appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Anytime. Thanks so much.